Hello, everyone, and thank you for joining us here on the City Gospel Movement podcast. Today, we have the incredible privilege of getting to talk with Chuck Proudfit, who is the founder of At Work on Purpose, and their goal is that everyone feels that they are the hands and feet of Christ at work. This is part one of the interview with Chuck Proudfit. Chuck, thank you so much for joining us.
It's good to be here.
Chuck, you have started, you are the founder of At Work on Purpose, but before that, you were working in corporate America, and I think your story is so great. I love hearing it every time, and I think everybody else would really enjoy just hearing kind of the beginnings of how you even got to where you are right now. Would you mind just giving us that snapshot?
Sure. And I'll start just a touch before the corporate career began because they kind of tie together. I was earning a degree in organizational development at Harvard University, and I was getting close to graduation. And like so many of the listeners, I'm sure you can remember back, you know, if you're in grad school or in college or whatever, you're envisioning what it's like to graduate and go out into the real world. And then you can climb the ladder and make your mark and all that kind of stuff. And I was not a Christian at this point, but I was definitely young and aspiring to leave a legacy in the marketplace somewhere. I didn't know exactly what that was going to look like, but I was motivated. So I graduated and ended up taking a job at Procter & Gamble, which is a consumer products company in Cincinnati, Ohio. And I remember as I first started, I knew that I was an entrepreneurial person, and my hope had been that I could fit well inside of the brand development system at P&G because you get assigned to specific brands. In my case, Stephanie, I got assigned to what was then White Cloud toilet paper. Much to the horror of my mother, who my folks both had wanted me to go into academia, and they'd taken out a second mortgage on their house for me to go to Harvard. And I'd ended up going into corporate America, and I land on toilet paper. And one day, about a week after I started work, my mom and I were talking on the phone, and she said, "Chucky, you're flushing your career down the toilet."
I love your mom.
Yeah, well, she's always been very direct. She still is. And of course, you know, as a young man, I don't want mom to be right about that. But within 6 months, I was starting to think that maybe she was. Within my first week of work, I was assigned to a team. It was called a SWAT team, which is short for Sell White Cloud Toilet Paper at $2 a four roll. And our whole journey was to explore if we could charge more money for a product that was softer and thicker than anyone wanted to pay for. And what we learned after 6 months of work was that we could not charge more. We had to charge less. And we were faced with a real dilemma on how to do that. And many companies go through this process. You know, it's like, man, we need to be more profitable. What are we going to do? In the case of P&G, I was then assigned to work with manufacturing plants across the country. We took 30 sheets off of each roll, and we wound them more loosely. So the diameter was the same as before the sheet count reduction. And we took a small increase in the thickness of the paper. And my job was to market it as new and improved. New because it had 30 fewer sheets, and improved because it was thicker. And needless to say, I was less than inspired. And by the way, for those who are listening who work in consumer products and so forth, it's not like this is illegal or unethical, but it didn't feel very fulfilling to me. It's like when you open a bag of potato chips and it looks so full, you know, but you open it and it's mostly air, and then the chips are on the bottom. It's kind of the same thing. And I remember walking home from work as a young man, and I felt like I was going through a midlife crisis, because when I was growing up, I was kind of living out a storyline that nobody taught me, but I'd caught it from the culture. And the storyline was that you go to school and you get good grades, and then you get a good job and you make lots of money and you retire comfortably, and then you die with a lot of toys to pass on. And I was at the part where I'd gone to a really good school and I had a really good job and I was making really good money and I was really miserable. And I didn't know what to do about that. I felt completely stuck.
So what happened? So what happened next, Chuck? What after that point?
Yeah, so I literally, I came home. I remember it vividly, like it was yesterday. I came home to my bachelor pad. It was a little apartment that looked down over the skyline of Cincinnati, Ohio, and I was just in a funk. You know, I was depressed, and I was remembering just months earlier on Harvard's campus where I had been so excited about my emerging career. And I remembered many of my friends who had had real energy for life and had found fulfilling pathways for their work. And religion was something that tied them all together. Now, they were from many different religious traditions, but they'd all found God's truth in some way or another. And I was intrigued by that. And so I made a decision that night, Stephanie, that I was going to start exploring world religions and philosophies. And I ended up spending the next decade doing that. I went back to the original source material. So I was reading the Quran, the Bhagavad Gita, the Dhammapada, the Torah, the New Testament. I was going into philosophy like Analects of Confucius, Dialogues of Plato. And long story short, I come to Christ in November of 1996 at age 31. So I become a new believer as a young working professional. And then I start experiencing what we call church. I'll just pause there, and I've got some more stories related to all that, but I'll follow your lead as my facilitator here.
I love that story, Chuck. And, you know, I think so much of what you are doing at Work on Purpose is because of those early years. Can you share with us just how At Work on Purpose started? I know that your goal is for people to be the hands and feet of Christ at work. And so from your early days at Harvard to your journey, and now to having this organization, where did these things collide?
Yes, I think what God engineered, and I certainly didn't realize it on the front end, but I can see it retrospectively. God used my frustration with work to lead me to faith. And then God called me to bring faith into work. In a way, he literally helped me experience the problem that so many of us face in work that we find meaningless or empty or hollow. And on the other hand, pointed me towards this possibility of being at work on God's purposes. And it was that idea that work could actually be fulfilling, that scripture could actually be correct, because it tells us in scripture that we are not an accident. We were created on purpose. And through the Great Commission, we all have a shared purpose, right? Which is to make disciples. And not only that, we know from Ephesians that we're God's handiwork and good works have been prepared in advance for us to do. And I believe that so many of those are in the working world. And we know from Colossians 3:23-24, we're supposed to do our work as unto the Lord. So he's our ultimate boss. And we even know from Romans 8:28 that God works for the good of those who love him, who've been called according to his purpose. So for me, I started early in my faith walk to connect the dots between God's word and what I'll call a faithful walk at work. And I began to imagine what it would be like, not just for me to have that experience, but for others. It was out of that idea. Today, I would describe it as a calling, but I didn't have a word for that back then. Mm-hmm. I began to envision a community of working Christians who would come alongside each other so that together we could encourage each other in faith integrated with work, that together we could become better equipped to be integrating faith and work, and that together we could engage the marketplace and bring the light of Christ to the darkness of the working world. That was the genesis of At Work on Purpose as a ministry, and that's essentially what we do today on a much larger scale than when we first started.
Yeah, so can you share with us just kind of the timeline as far as when did you first begin At Work on Purpose, and take us right up to what is happening today with the organization?
Sure. At Work on Purpose launched in 2003. So I'd spent 5-6 years just reflecting on what it meant for me to integrate faith in my own work. And then I initiated a research project, Stephanie. I interviewed hundreds of working Christians around the country to understand what we all struggle with when it comes to faith at work and spiritually how we can overcome those struggles. And out of that research and that conviction was the birth of At Work on Purpose as a ministry in 2003. So we're at this point 15 years old, and over the course of those 15 years, we've grown in stages. In many ways, we're more of an organism than an organization. What I mean by that is that we have very much the flavor of the early church. We are a networked community filled with relationships. in the greater Cincinnati area, and now across our whole sphere of influence, which is different parts of the country and overseas. It starts with a relationship, and then it's a conversation around how might we be helpful to each other. And out of that is birthed a whole series of different initiatives, and they have many different flavors. I joke with people sometimes that At Work on Purpose today is kind of like Baskin Robbins ice cream. You can walk inside and there are 31 flavors, you know, there's vanilla, pralines and cream, and rocky road, but whichever flavor you like, there's something there to like, you know, there's a community of working Christians who have a particular flavor mm-hmm. of integration at work that draws them. And I love to watch that happen. It's very organic. It's very decentralized.
So how can people be involved in what you're doing? And then could you also just share a real personal story of something or someone that has really experienced a change in their life because of At Work on Purpose?
Sure. The way somebody typically engages with us is through word of mouth. For example, just today, I got a phone call. I was on the road just driving from one meeting to the next, and it was a young lady who had heard about the At Work on Purpose community from a friend. And I've known that person, that friend, for a number of years. And as a result, this new contact had my information and said, "Hey, I've heard about this ministry community. What's it like?" And I started to describe it, and then I said, "You know, our goal is to kind of plug you into something that would be of interest to you. Tell me more about your background." So there's a connection, then there's an exploration so that we can better understand that person and their interests. And then there's a connection. It's like, well, here, let's connect you to this initiative or to that person. Mm-hmm. In other words, it's very customized. And I'm glad to describe in more detail some of the specific ministry initiatives, but think of it as, wow, I didn't know that there were Christian business leaders that gather together, or entrepreneurs that gather together, or corporate chaplains that gather together. And when people start to describe what their interests are, we can start to connect them. So that's in general how it works. It's very relational and it's very customized. A specific example, I remember years ago, I got a phone call from an Emmy award-winning videographer working with the Cincinnati Inquirer, our local newspaper. And like so many newspapers around the country, people are being laid off because the advertising revenue is going down for print media, digital is on the rise. And this guy, although very qualified, was struggling to find a job. He was in his late 50s. And although no one would tell him this, I think everybody was looking at him and saying, you know, you're too old for us to hire you as an employee, even if you do have an Emmy Award. And this guy, you know, he still has a mortgage to pay and a family to feed and all that kind of stuff. So he'd gotten to a point of real desperation or a strong felt need. And he was reaching out to me, not as a Christian, but because he'd heard that I was philanthropic, that sometimes on pro bono or without charge, I would help people start small enterprises to support themselves. And I told him that I was glad to help him with that. So we began some conversations and ended up launching for him a video production company. Its name is Chili Dog Productions, and the tagline is "Old Dogs, New Tricks."
That's great.
So I told him, I said, not only do I want to help you get your business off the ground, but I said, I want to be your first customer. I'm going to pay you a retainer through the At Work on Purpose ministry. And I said, you didn't know this about me, but I'm a Christ follower and I have this ministry. And I like to capture real life stories of working Christians who are integrating their faith at their work. And I'd like to have you be our videographer to travel with me and capture on film the stories of these different people. And he obviously agreed to do that because it's a first customer for him, and not because he was spiritually interested. And I found out later he was actually very angry at God, if God existed, because he had a young son who had committed suicide. So for him, he felt alienated from God at best and didn't even believe in a God at worst. Well, as fate would have it, the very first video project was a 53-year-old businessman named Bill Strotman, who was 6 weeks from death of bladder cancer. And we go to his house in northern Kentucky, and the guy is in so much pain that he can't sit or stand. So he's squatting in front of a sofa to give his faith testimony. Hmm. He describes how he came to Christ in a group of business executives where he'd been going to church his whole life, but no one had ever told him that Christianity is about a personal relationship with Jesus and surrendering your life to the Lord and embracing him, not just as a savior, but as the Lord of your life. And all of this was news to him. He'd never heard about this. Anyway, he explained how, as a result of his faith, he no longer feared death. It had completely transformed the way he looked at his business, that he was a steward, not an owner, that it wasn't about making money, although he needed to be profitable. It was about making a difference in the world. And as he's sharing his heartfelt testimony, Stacy, the videographer, is behind the camera, blown away by the vulnerability, the authenticity, and the conviction of this dying man. And Stacy comes to Christ making the video.
That's fantastic. Yeah, those are the kinds of things that just keep you going and really make you feel like I am in the right place at the right time. Well, that is it for us for the City Gospel Movement podcast. This is part one of the interview with Chuck Proudfit. Thank you for joining us, and we'll look for you next time.